there, 2009, and then we switch over 2010 to the current network. And you can see with this, we haven't yet done as much as a full network in this particular round. But I think right now, as you'll hear from some of the work groups that are going to present, they have a whole series of articles that just articles that are in preparation or under review. So I feel like we will have this network diagram looking fantastic, I think, in the next 6 months to a year. And finally, this is the success in funding. And so we've applied for over $500 million of funding, which is really amazing. As you know, you report this when you do the project reporting for Rebecca. And we have been we've been very successful with the multi-center grants. Here you see that half of the funding that we've asked for, we have received. And it tended to be that we've been successful in garnering some of the larger grants than we have just individually, where you add together all of the funding that has been asked for, much of this by individual centers and so forth. So I think we have a proud record of achievement so far. And let me ask if there are any questions on the information that I presented here. If you all had to pick, if we had to pick a couple of the key accomplishments, what are a couple, two or three things that you all think are the most notable things that have come out of the network so far? What ideas do you all have? Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think 2-on-1 has been a big success story, and kudos to Matt and his team at WashU for pioneering this concept. And then we put it open just so for some of you all who weren't here early on, Matt said, "Hey, who wants to replicate this at their local center?" And we had it replicated in Washington, North Carolina, and Texas. Yes. So we replicated the survey in those places and had a nice article that came out in Journal of Healthcare for the Poor and Underserved, led by Jason Purnell. And this also led to multiple grants. I know Maria has, her team at Texas has done several 2-on-1 grants. Michelle Kegler's $8 million study that involved four centers. And I think that's an absolute fantastic accomplishment. And then Matt, you've also built the 2-on-1 consortium as a, some of it started through your group and the CPCRN, and now it's built to many people beyond 2-on-1. Great job on that. Other accomplishments? Yeah, James.
So the other thing I think an accomplishment is the MORE project we're going to talk about, because it's a great opportunity to kind of do kind of trial you couldn't do in one place just because we happen to have a network. And I know we don't have final results, but I think this is the kind of thing that's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Rashawn said, I believe Russ Glasgow and others came to the group and said, we have this idea to take and do a standardized assessment in federally qualified health centers and primary care clinics. And that was able to be cloned across CPCRN as well as some non-CPCRN centers. I think that's another outstanding job. And we're taking advantage of the geographic diversity that the different centers have, where we can recruit different clinical populations. So I think that's a key thing. So Maria and then Pat?
Yeah, so I think another success is the training and technical assistance that we've provided. So the training and technical assistance, there's a work group now led by COM, but really started early on with activities that we did in our local centers and then started coordinating centers. And out of that has come, I think, really useful, practical training tools that we all use. We've done training for national partners, and then, of course, the TACTIC project, which is an R01 that everyone's involved in and allows us to develop an online tool for helping partners find and adapt and implement evidence-based cancer control programs.
Fantastic. This has also been a thing that CDC has been especially grateful for, because they've wanted to take a lot of what we've learned and ideas about disseminating evidence and adaptation and so forth, and have it packaged in a nice presentation where centers worked all together, created a central PowerPoint, and then has been delivered really across the country. So that's been a fantastic. Any other comments that people? Yeah, Sean?
The ability of the network to be responsive to new things that come out. So for example, when the HPV vaccine came out, we were in our end of the first, beginning of the second cycle, but there was a lot of stuff that went on. There were almost all the sites were involved. We came up with standardized tools. There are now R01 level projects. There's a systematic review, all kinds of things that we did related to that.
Absolutely. We'll take James and then Matt. I'm sorry, Russ and then Matt.
Thanks. Well, I was, is this on?
No, again, it's for the feds will be able to listen to this later, but we should hear you.
Oh, all right. If it's not on, why am I sticking this in my mouth? I was going to say, actually, the last few comments, so just ditto to those that people have made. I'm having a little trouble with the acoustics, but the one thing that I didn't hear was the CRC group, their partnership with the state health departments. I think that has been a really important contribution, and if the CDC folks were here, I'm sure they would say that. More generally, I think I like to think of groups like this or networks, particularly as we're focused about trying to do three things. One of them is to build the field, contribute to the science, and you presented some nice slides on that. Second is a partnership, and I think both with among yourselves, but also with other groups you've done, with the FQHCs and things. So I think that's important. And then the third one is just to reiterate what Maria said about the training. I think that's an important, you know, advance that you've made too. To just be a little bit challenging, and again, since I can say this maybe more freely now, since I'm no longer a Fed and I'm there, and again, I think you should take credit for everything, but some of the things, and I'll just pick on maybe 211, since I know it a little better than some of the others, that is a great accomplishment, but do we attribute that to CPCRN? Do we attribute that to Seeker? Do we attribute that to Matt? To the leadership? It's just the attribution of some of these things. And at the end of the day, maybe it doesn't matter, and you can never work those things out, but again, that's just a tough thing to win.
Actually, it's interesting. We talked a little bit about this last night in the lobby, and my take on it is that Matt's group and his Seeker pioneered their idea within his group, and it stayed in St. Louis. But what the CPCRN did is allowed it to be spread to Georgia, North Carolina, Texas, Washington State, and other places, and to grow better. So I think, in a way, Matt does not like the analogy that I said that, you know, he sort of germinated the idea, but CPCRN was the fertilizer that allowed it to spread. So, but he does not want that quoted. So.
Actually, I was just going to say what Russ said about the CRCCP working group.
So. Yes. Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. And that group is, as you all know, pulled together a presentation, a survey questionnaire in record time to be administered nationally to help collect, you know, baseline data. And, you know, Peggy Hannon and her team with their whole work group did sort of miracles in that. And then it was also giving feedback reports rapidly to CDC. And this is, again, one of their really core programs, and they looked to us for support. And I think we rose to the challenge.